Okay, my name is Johnny Vergis. I think most of you must be knowing me. Okay, and I'll be taking a few sessions for you. So we'll study one particular topic in the Bible. So I'll soon tell you what that topic is. But before that, I want to sort of clarify a few points. Okay, I hope that it will be that you will take interest in what is being taught. We are doing all this. We are studying the Bible because we believe that it is something which is beneficial for us. It is something that God has given us, and there is benefit and joy in studying God's word. That's why we are doing this. Okay. So at any time, if I am saying something and if it is not clear to you, then you should ask me on the spot. Okay. So at any time, if I'm teaching something and if you're not understanding, then make sure that you feel free to ask me to clarify. The best time to ask is there and then itself. Okay. That's one thing. If you find that I'm going fast, suppose you're trying to write something down, and if you find that I'm going too fast, then you can ask me to wait. Is this clear? Okay. So we want to study something together from God's word. So it will be a waste of time if I'm saying something and you don't understand. Okay, so we should understand it together. That's what I wanted to communicate. And any time, any other time also, if there are any other questions that you have related to the Bible or anything else, related to the Bible or related to life, if then you can feel free to come and ask me and discuss these things. Okay, so through this camp and through the study of the Bible, we want to become closer to God. Okay, that is our objective. The topic that we are going to study is some of the history that is given in the Bible. And we are going to study about how the dates of different things in the Bible are decided. So we are going to study something about history, and there's another word called chronology. Chronology means time. When what happened. So it is going to be partly from the Bible and partly from outside the Bible also. So we will study about history and chronology. So if you want to give a heading, it is history and chronology. You can mention that chronology is the study of the timing of events in history. It's the study of the timing of events in history. Like when what happened. That is chronology. Okay, so the first thing that we want to understand is, why is it important, or why should we bother with studying history or chronology? Okay, why should we study history or chronology? So I'll give you some reasons. See, God has given us the Bible to teach us. Okay, if God wanted, then in the Bible he could have only put commandments, like you should not do this, you should do this, and so on and so forth. But God has not done that much. God has also chosen to teach us with the help of stories. Yes or no? Right? We read in the Bible stories of great people, like there was David, and there was Solomon, and like that there was Moses and Daniel. So many people are there, their stories or their histories are given. So God has chosen to use history as a method of teaching us. If so, then we ought to study it. Okay? Or another way of putting it is, if God has included it in the Bible, then obviously he wants us to study it. He wouldn't include it in the Bible if he didn't want us to study it. So why should we study history and chronology? Because God has included it in the Bible as one way to teach us. Okay, second reason. Second reason to study history, I'll put it this way. See, we believe that the things that are written in the Bible are true. They are not just stories. They are not just myths. What is the meaning of myth? A myth is a story which didn't really happen. Right? Like in our country, there are many ancient books. There are epics. And they have long stories and lot of fanciful things are there in them. So we claim that those are myths. They didn't really happen. Those people didn't really exist. Probably those places didn't really exist. Okay? Even if the places existed, it didn't exist the way it is said in those myths. And those same things didn't happen. That's what we believe. But regarding the Bible, we believe that if it says that there was a King Solomon, then really, there was a King Solomon. Okay, these are not myths. These are history. And history has dates. If I tell you a story which never happened, then you can't ask me when did it happen, because it never happened anyway. But if I tell you a story that this is a true story, then you will ask, when did it happen? Are you understanding this? So, we believe that biblical history is true history. And therefore, the dates are important. Okay? Biblical history is true or authentic history. And therefore, dates are important. Is this point made clear? Okay. If I believe that something is true, then I should ask, when did it happen? So if I believe that there really was a King Solomon, then I would want to ask, okay, when did King Solomon live? Okay. Then one more reason, the third reason is this, that see, the history that we read about in the Bible, we can say that is part of Christian history. Right? Up till when this biblical times, when does the Bible end? What year does the Bible end? Or what era does the Bible end in, approximately? Like biblical people, the last biblical people who are mentioned in the Bible, when did they live? In AD or BC or what? In AD?
Say it loud.
Yeah, AD 90 or so. Right? That is when in AD 90, 95, 100, around that time is the time when the last book of the Bible was written. So people like John, Peter and all, they lived around that time. Okay? And you have these Old Testament people who lived before that. Now, after AD 90 or AD 100, there is no more biblical history. The Bible ends there. Now, does that mean that God's people do not exist after that? Now, God's people were existing. It is just that the Bible does not write about them. The Bible was already completed. So, we can say that this biblical history is part of Christian history. It's part of the history of God's people. Biblical history is part of Christian history. That is part of the history of God's people. Okay? Now, if you come, like suppose, like people like me, I have come many times for ABC. I have come many years ago for ABC. So, if you come for ABC 1 year and then after 5-6 years or after 10 years again you come, then what you feel like saying is that there are so many new faces. The people who were coming before, now they are not to be seen, but now there are some new people. Now, why is this? Because people are growing up, right? There must have been some youth who were coming before. Now perhaps they are married. Probably they have got a job in another city, they are gone. So they don't come anymore. Whereas there are other people, maybe 5-10 years ago, they were too small to come for ABC. But now, they have started coming. So they are new faces. Are you understanding this? So, in any group like ABC, or in any church, or in any city, the people will continuously change. The old faces will go away, and then you will have new faces. Some people were there, no matter how great they were, after some time they die and they're gone. And then new people come. So this keeps changing. And we might feel like asking, you know, is there any connection that is there among all these things? So many new faces come, old faces are gone. Is there anything that connects everybody? Is there anything that connects all the people who are there before, the people who are there now, and the people who are going to be afterwards. Okay? in the world there is nothing to connect them. In the world there is nothing to connect people before and people afterwards. Sometimes if you read the newspaper, like there'll be one Bollywood superstar, some actor or actress, and that person would have passed away. And the news will be there in big letters that this person has passed away. And then you will see the photos of that person's funeral. And all these other film stars will appear there. They'll be looking very serious. And they'll be wearing all like white colored clothes and all that. And after that, you will find that that superstar is gone. He is completely forgotten. No one cares. Because now there are new younger actors and actresses who have come. No one cares about the people who have gone before. Okay. So now my question is there any connection between everyone, the people who were there before, the people who are there now, and the people who are going to be there afterwards? In the world, there is no connection. But in the kingdom of God, yes, there is a connection. Okay? You have Adam and Eve, and you have all the Old Testament people, then you have the New Testament people, then you have us. Is there something that connects all of us? Yes, all of us are God's people. So we have lived in different times of history, which means that we have played our part in God's purposes in different times. Like God had a plan long, long ago, and David and Solomon did that plan. Then after some time, God had some other plan, and Peter and Paul were doing it. And today also God has a plan in the world, and people like you and me have the opportunity to participate in that. And God's plan is ultimately one big plan. So there is a connection between all of us. We are all part of the same one big plan of God. We can also put it this way. We are all part of the same family. We are all part of the same family. So if you are part of a family, wouldn't you be interested in getting to know the other members of the family? Okay? If you are part of God's big plan, God's plan stretches over thousands of years. And you are a small part of that big plan. And you have played one part. So I have played some part in God's purposes for Mumbai or for Maharashtra or for India in the 21st century. So I am definitely very interested in what are the parts that other members of my family have played, maybe in India or maybe in some other place, maybe in some other century. Are you understanding this? So we are all working together as part of one big plan. We are all members of one big family. So obviously, the natural thing, the natural thing for us would be to be interested in the other members of the family and how they fulfill God's purposes in their time. Okay? So that's our third reason. So you can mention this. If you are writing it, you can write it this way. That since we are part of God's big family and God's big plan, since we are part of God's big family and God's big plan, it is appropriate for us to learn about the other members of this family. It is important for us to learn about the other members of this family and how they fulfilled their part of God's plan. How they fulfilled their part in God's plan. Am I making sense? So we have seen three reasons. What was the first reason? Yeah, God has put it in the Bible. God has used history to teach us, so we should learn it. Second verse. History is authentic. Biblical history is authentic. True. Therefore, it must be having dates. So the dates are important. Okay. And the third reason is, we are part of the same family. Okay. There is something called a relay race. You know that? Yeah. Do you see something like a relay race here? You know? Yeah. Do you see something like a relay race here? Yeah. Can you explain how? In some ways, the kingdom of God is also like a relay race. Can you understand how?
The old people, like the people who lived before, are also fulfilling God's purposes. However, they passed on the baton to the younger generation for the next.
Yeah, are you understanding this? Okay, so we are getting the baton from the older people. So, everyone, every generation has done a good or a bad job, and then they pass on the baton to the next generation. So, you guys are the upcoming generation. Okay? And you will get the baton from the older people. But before our generation, there were many other generations in the past. So, we are interested to see how those guys did, how they performed. How did they serve God? We can learn from their mistakes. We can learn from their good examples also. And we have to understand how the baton has come down to us. So we need to understand what happened in the past. When it happened, how it happened, and so on and so forth. Okay? So that is what we are going to get into now. Okay? We will start with, so we are going to see some things from the life of some of the kings of Israel. And then we will also learn how the dates of these events are determined. Okay. And then we are also going to look at how, you know, secular people, like the dates that you read in your history textbook or science textbook may be very different from the dates that we get from the Bible. So why and how is that? Okay. So we are going to look into that also. Okay. So we will begin with King Solomon. On the positive side, what do you know about King Solomon? On the good side. Loudly. He was the wisest man. Anything else? He was very rich and powerful. So he was a wise king, rich and powerful king, and he enjoyed also a peaceful reign. He did not have a lot of wars to fight. So, you know, he had a good life. So these are the positive things about him. Yeah, thanks. There are also some negative things about him. So let's begin with those. So let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. And let's read verses 1 to 5. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 5. Whoever gets it can read it loudly. Girls can also read. Yes. So, what was the mistake of Solomon? What was the mistake of Solomon here? Loudly. He loved many strange women. So, there are two errors here. One is in the many and one is in the strange. Right? So, according to God's plan, how many women were supposed to be there in one man's life? Only one. Okay? So Solomon deviated from that. So he took many women to himself. Then there's another aspect of the mistake. What is that other aspect? Lovely. Yeah, he followed their gods. Yeah, before he followed their gods. Lovely. He gave them more importance than God. But I'm saying before that there's a mistake. That's the second step. The first step is just in marrying people who worship other gods. Yeah. Yeah, these are people from the nations that God had said you should not take wives from those countries. Are you understanding this? Why did God say you should not take wives from those countries? Are you understanding my question? Why did God say that don't marry people from those countries? Yeah, because they worshipped other gods. Okay? They were not people of God. They were worshipping idols. And it's not just that they were worshipping idols, but their idolatry involved a lot of bad things, bad practices. Okay? And there is the possibility that if you associated with them, you will also get corrupted. And that is what happened in Solomon's case. So, he married these women and they influenced him against God. Are you understanding this? So, this is not our main topic right now, but just in passing we can mention that you have to be very careful about whom you decide to be the man or the woman in your life. Are you understanding this? Solomon was not careful about this. Who is going to be the man in your life or who is going to be the woman in your life? It has to be one person. And it has to be one person who, such that the match is pleasing to God. Okay, so Solomon did not bother about that. Okay, he married so many, first he married so many Israelite women. And he must have got bored of them. And then he started marrying foreigners also. Idolatrous foreigners who turned his heart against God. Okay, so this was something wrong that Solomon did. Then, let us read 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7. Yeah. He had 12 officers, each from one province in Israel, in order to provide him with the materials, the resources for his palace, for the upkeep of his palace. So do you see anything wrong there? There is nothing wrong as such to be seen in that verse. But if you read that entire passage, and if you read between the lines, then you find that something is not so right. Okay? After this verse, the list of all the officers is given. The provinces from which they come is also given. Now, the population of Israel was divided into 12 tribes. Okay? And the unity between these tribes was never a perfect unity. It's like, you know, people of one tribe, they like the people of the same tribe. And they're not so friendly with people of the other tribe. So that sort of rivalry, that sort of slight difference in treatment was always there. And if you look at the list of Solomon's provinces, okay, which tribe did Solomon come from? Judah. If you look at the list of those provinces, then you find that the greater burden or a disproportionate burden of maintaining Solomon's grand lifestyle, the disproportionate burden was handled or was laid upon people from the other tribes. So Solomon was from the tribe of Judah and he was living a very luxurious life. Okay? And a lot of the money to fund this luxurious lifestyle was coming from other tribes. Okay? So that is also something which Solomon was not very honest or not very upright in. He was living a very lavish lifestyle, spending a lot of money, spending a lot on food, buildings, clothes, this, that, this. And there were other people who were paying for those expenses. Okay. So this was not very good on the part of Solomon. Then, let us read 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 1. Yeah, who is Rehoboam? Son of Solomon. And where is he going? He is going to Shechem. Okay. Which was the capital of Israel? Jerusalem. Can you see Jerusalem comes in the southern side of Israel? And Shechem comes in the central or slightly to the north area of Israel. So this fellow Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. So after Solomon is the king and he dies, then the next person to come to the throne has to be his son, that is Rehoboam. And Rehoboam is coming to take his kingship, but Rehoboam feels a pressure to go where? To Shechem. Something is not right, you can make out. Ideally, what should have happened is Rehoboam should have sat in Jerusalem comfortably. Okay? But he feels a pressure to go to Shechem. Apparently, everyone has called him there. Okay? And Shechem is not inside the tribe of Judah. It's on the northern side. So this king, whose capital is in the south, whose throne is in the south, he has to go for a meeting with his subjects to a place which is far away from his capital, far away from his home territory, the place where he is the strongest. Okay? So he goes there. Then read verse 2 to 5. 2, 3, 4 and 5. Okay, so there is another prominent character here. What is his name? Jeroboam. Okay, and where is he coming from? Egypt. Okay, so he is a person who was in Israel. Okay, he had fallen into the bad books of Solomon. He was Solomon's officer, but there was some quarrel between him and Solomon, and so he went to Egypt, and now Solomon has died, so this guy nicely comes back. Okay. And he is the one who is representing all the people. And then he puts the message across to Solomon. What is the request that these people have? Make our yoke lighter. Like in more modern language, what does that mean? Reduce our taxes. Your father has been living a grand lifestyle. And it's been funded with our money. So we want you to reduce the taxes. Don't waste money like your father. Okay, don't live such a grand lifestyle like your father did and expect us to pay for it. Okay, we want to have lower taxes. Okay, now see what happens after that. Read verse 6 to 11.
What is your advice? How should you answer these people who say to me, flatten the yoke of your father, put on us. The young man who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make a yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father lay on your heavy yoke, I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whip, I will scourge you with scorpion.
Yeah. So, Rehoboam gets this request for lower taxes and then he says, okay, give me some 3 days and I'll respond to you. And then, he asks advice from two groups of people. Who is the first group? The elderly people who had served with his father. Okay. Perhaps some of them were even well acquainted with David. If they had not lived during David's time, at least they knew about him. Okay. What did these older people tell him? What did they tell Rehoboam? See, it's written there.
If today you will be a servant to these people, and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be a servant.
Yeah. So they are advising him, answer these people politely. Answer these people kindly. They are asking you for lesser taxes, so what should you do? Give them lesser taxes. Lower their yoke. So that today, if you be nice to them, they will also be nice to you. Okay, this is the advice of the elderly people. The second group of people he asked is the younger people. These are younger people who had grown up along with him. There's this term like rich brats, right? There's some kids, like, they've got a lot of money that their parents give them, and because of that, they are a little cut off from reality. Right, they don't know how things work in the real world. So in Solomon's palace, there was a lot of money. People were having a gala time, and there were some youngsters who were growing up in that environment. These are not youngsters who, you know, who were looking at the farmers who are toiling, who are looking at the people who are poor and having some difficulty. You know, they probably thought money grows on trees because they just see money all around them. Okay? And what was the response that they gave to Rehoboam? Yeah, tell them that I am going to be much more demanding than my father. Are you understanding the response? So, they told him, deal firmly with these people. They are asking for lower taxes, but you tell them that I am going to give you higher taxes. So if Solomon lived a grand life, I am going to live a grander life. That's what these guys wanted actually. Right? So that's why they told Solomon to respond in this way. Okay? Now, what is the outcome of that? Let us read verse 15 to 17. Same chapter. Chapter 12, verse 15 to 17.
So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tent, O Israel. Look after your own house, O David. So the Israelites went home. But as far for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them.
Yeah. So when Rehoboam, who did Rehoboam listen to? He asked advice from two groups of people. Who did he listen to? He listened to the younger people. Again, this is not our main topic, but here is a lesson that be careful about whose advice you take and follow. Right, Rehoboam did not follow the right advice and he paid a very heavy price for that. He lost most of his kingdom. Okay, because he did not take advice from the right group of people. So that's a lesson for us. So he answered the people harshly and then Jeroboam and all the people said, we don't want to have anything to do with David, the house of David. Why are they taking David's name? David is the father of Solomon. So David is the grandfather of Rehoboam. So they are saying, we don't want to have anything to do with this family. You know, you can see to yourselves, we will form a separate kingdom. Okay, so Rehoboam lost most of his kingdom. Only what remained with him? Only Judah. The tribe of Judah was with him. Okay, here it says only Judah was with him. Later on we find that even Benjamin got attached to Judah. Okay, and there was another tribe called Simeon. And the tribe of Simeon was actually scattered inside Judah only. So probably many of the Simeonites also were with Rehoboam. But the remaining 10 tribes, okay, they formed a separate kingdom. Now, who do you think became the king of this new kingdom? Jeroboam. Jeroboam became king of the other 10 tribes. Okay. So now Israel is split into two. So which are the kings who ruled over a unified Israel? Saul, David, and Solomon. These three kings ruled over the whole of Israel. But now the kingdom splits into two. So how do you distinguish between the two kingdoms? What names shall we give? You can call 10 tribes and 2 tribes. Or you can say Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. You can also say Israel and Judah. Since most of the Israelites are in the Northern Kingdom, then the Northern Kingdom is also called Israel and the Southern Kingdom is referred to as Judah. Although later on it included also Benjamin. Okay. So now you have two kings. On the north, the 10 tribes, also called Israel. On the south, 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, who are referred to also as Judah or the Southern Kingdom. Is this clear to everyone? Now there is a lesson for us here, and that is that, you know, God can take away the things that we like. Even the things which look like Christian things. Okay? Like Rehoboam or Solomon had a kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. It's God's people. So how nice to have a united Israel. How nice when all the 12 tribes recognize that we are all God's people and they belong to one kingdom. But here in the verse that we read, it says the cause was of the Lord. It was the Lord who brought about this turn of events. This was God's punishment for Solomon's departure from God. Solomon was influenced by his wives and he burned incense to idols. And because of that, God said, I am going to split the kingdom and I am going to take away the kingdom from this dynasty, the dynasty of David and Solomon. Are you understanding this? So the warning is that God can take away the things that we like. God can take away even the things that look to us like Christian things. Like this kingdom of Israel is God's kingdom. Still he took it away from the house of David. So what are the things in your life which are like Christian things? The Bible that you have, the Bible that you read, the assembly hall that we worship in. God can take away those things also if our hearts are not in the right place. Okay? Sometimes we like certain things more than we like God. There are some people, they may like their assembly hall more than they like God. So they will spend a lot of time and effort, make the assembly hall very posh and all that. But their hearts are far away from God. Well, if God wants, God can take away even that assembly hall. Okay? God took away the kingdom from Solomon. So it's a sad thing that the house of David lost most of its kingdom. Okay. So now you have two different kingdoms. Okay. The capital of the southern kingdom was Jerusalem. And the capital of the northern kingdom is not mentioned here. Okay. It's not clear what is the capital. But they'll have to choose another capital. Is this clear? So you have two kings, kingdoms. Southern kingdom has Jerusalem as the capital. And the northern kingdom is going to choose a new capital. The southern king is Rehoboam. And the northern king is Jeroboam. Okay, now confusing names are going to come now. So we have to be careful. Okay, now let us read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 13 and 14. Yeah. Be careful about what? Yeah, yeah. So where you should not sacrifice, where? What is the restriction? Lovely? Huh. Your burnt offering, is there any restriction about that? Can't offer it anywhere. No sacrificing your burnt offerings anywhere. Right? That is the opposite of what we say today. No? Where two or three are gathered, there the Lord is present among them. But that was not the system at that time. He said, don't sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere. If you live in Shechem, or if you live in Galilee, or if you live in Bethlehem, don't sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you want. But rather, where should you sacrifice? In the place where, can you see it? The place where the Lord chooses. The place where the Lord chooses. There will be one place in the whole country which God chooses. And there, people from all over the country should come, and all of them, as one group of God's people, should sacrifice there together. Okay? There's a meaning for that today also. That is, when we come to worship God on a Sunday morning, there is one head or one center for all people. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But this, as a symbol, this was there in the Old Testament, that they should all come to one place and sacrifice. Okay, so the obvious question is, which place? Yeah, which was this one place which God chose and all of them have to come there only and sacrifice? Okay, do you know which place this was? First, it was a place called Shiloh, where the tabernacle was erected. But afterwards, God chose Jerusalem. God chose Mount Zion, that is Jerusalem. And at this site that God chose, who built what there? Say loud. Solomon built a temple there. That Solomon's temple was to be a headquarters, a religious headquarters. A place where everyone is supposed to come and worship. Are you understanding this? Are you getting what I'm saying? So from all over Israel, God is telling the people, don't sacrifice your animals anywhere. Don't do worship services anywhere. Only go to one place, and that one place is Jerusalem. And there you should go, and there you should offer your sacrifices. Okay? Now, if you're a clever person, now you should find there's a problem here. There's a problem that somebody is going to face now. Lovely? Israelite, what problem are they going to face? Now they can't go to Judah because it has become a different kingdom. Okay, sometimes it happens like this. Now from India, it's not so easy to go to Pakistan. So if it's become a different kingdom, then it's difficult for people to go. What if the other kingdom was a little friendly, at least in this aspect? Suppose, imagine like this, that the people of Judah said, okay, you guys are a separate kingdom now, but you people want to worship God. So at least for worshipping God, we don't mind if you come. We are going to check to see if you have weapons and all that. So we'll do the security check, then we'll allow you in. You can come, do your worship at our place, Jerusalem, and then go back. Okay? Still, there is a problem. Even if this permission is given, there's still a problem. You know, when we, suppose we are in a particular situation and we have something, you know, then we know, have something which is very precious and something which we want to hold on to, then we will see a lot of problems around us. Like if I have a lot of money in my pocket, then I'll probably notice that, you know, this area is not very safe. If I don't have any money in my pocket, then I'll probably not notice that this area is not so safe. Okay. Now see, there's somebody who notices a problem here. Let us read First Kings chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. Yeah, who sees the problem here? Jeroboam. He has just become king. And he loves the kingdom so much. You know. And now what is the problem? Can you make out what he is saying? What is the problem? Yeah, people from my kingdom will go to Jerusalem. They will go there. They will see the priests. Where do you think the Levites are going to be? Levites are not going to be in Shechem and Samaria and all. They are going to be in Jerusalem. He will see the Levites. They will see the priests in all their costumes. And they will see all the sacrifices being conducted. They will see Solomon's temple, very grand temple there. And they will all worship God together. And they will have this feeling of oneness. They will have this feeling that, you know what, this is the place where we belong to. And if they feel like that, they will start thinking that we should have a united kingdom once again. Are you understanding what Jeroboam is saying? So Jeroboam is very concerned about his kingdom now, his throne. He has got his throne and he's like, look, if these people go to Jerusalem, their hearts are going to be turned towards Jerusalem. And then my kingdom, my life, my position is going to be in danger. Are you understanding this? So sometimes it happens like this, that we have something that we like, and we think that this thing is in danger. So then we have to decide what to do about it. What can I do about it? Like, suppose I play the guitar in the church. Then I find that there's some new people have joined the church. And among the new people who have joined the church, there's one guy who actually plays better than me. So because of this, now what might happen is that my position of playing the guitar might go away. So what do I do now? This is the kind of problem that Jeroboam is facing. Okay? So what does Jeroboam decide? Let us read verse 28 and 29. Yes. Can you see that? What Jeroboam decided? What did he decide? He will make two golden calves. Where did he keep these golden calves? Bethel and Dan. Dan is the northern extreme of the kingdom. And Bethel is like centrally located. So, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on the south side. So, he said, we'll keep these two golden calves. And what will we tell the people? It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Why don't you worship here itself? Okay? And these are golden calves. What did he tell the people about the golden calves? These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. I mean, it sounds very stupid, but this is what he said. Okay? And from this you also get to know Jeroboam's mindset. You know? And politicians sometimes have this mindset. Politicians know that religion controls people, or many people feel strongly about religion. Whether you like it or not, people are religious. So sometimes what politicians do is, they try to manipulate religion. They don't care which religion is true. Jeroboam does not care who is the true God. He does not care whether people are worshipping the true God or they are worshipping false gods. The only thing he cares about is his throne, his kingdom. And so he manipulates the religion. He tells people, okay, now we'll have a new religion. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You worship here itself. Okay? But I hope you are able to see how wrong this behavior is. Jeroboam is not paying attention to the truth, but he is paying attention to his own position. That's a very wrong attitude. I hope that is coming across to you. Okay? Truth is important. What has God said? What has God asked? What has God commanded? These are the most important things. Okay? And these are the things to which we should be paying attention. Don't worry about, you know, what if I stop playing the guitar in the church? Then who's going to give me attention? Okay? Don't worry about these kind of things. Our own position. The things that we have. Okay? What's important is God's truth. And Jeroboam did not pay attention to God's truth. He rather only cared about his own possessions. His own position. Okay? So that is a mistake that Jeroboam did.